B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
We have a culture that they want to be here. They want to play here. To recruit free agents, to hold on to people. And so here we are, and there we were. And yes, Josh and I speak freely. And yes, I was completely aware of how he saw my role and future as the playoffs unfold.
All right. Brett Brown has stole the podium in one of the greatest displays of communication that I've ever witnessed in 25 years of covering professional sports.
Yeah, he's a tremendous listener, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, just the communication aspect is really wonderful.
Well, let me read this.
Goes back real quick before we get into, because I want to make a point to you and I want to see if you agree with this. So weeks ago, you know, my buddy Gary Smith, who was acclaimed Sports Illustrated writer, he's now a novelist, and he really dives into the part of sport that is the human aspect of it, right? The interrelationships, the emotional side and the mental side of the whole thing, right? So the psychological of a coach side to reach players, all that stuff. And he said, you know, we were talking about Brett and, you know, him being on the hot seat, and we were talking about a lot with the X and O and you know, certain things that didn't make sense to us from a basketball standpoint and all that sort of thing. And he said, listen, guys, he goes, listen, you know, I want you to calm down. I want you to think about it from what the man's greatest attribute is. And it's how to handle people. It's how to usher in young guys. It's how that he knows this group I think back to Gary's words, and he was so right. And you can say whatever you want about those three possessions, right? Look, I agree. I mean, you know, they need to do something else other than those high ball screens. Like, I get it. And Joe being down low, and he tried to answer it. But I think that's a small trade-off for what you get from Brett, the coach, and the guy that got them to play. Like, he got them to play. Every time there was a hiccup in either series, they responded. And I think they responded because of him.
Yeah,
because
he knows how to reach his players. We talked about this yesterday briefly, and I want to get into it because I gave you a homework assignment about what the coach controls and what he doesn't. We'll get to that coming up after some phone calls. But you're right. He's a guy that is very comfortable in who he is. It's like Doug Peterson. In a way, coaching has changed where it's not like you grab the guy by the face mask anymore, especially in the NBA, Ant, where the contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah, we still view it as such that, you know, my huddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, your huddle, they would ignore you because they don't listen.
Yep. Brian Seltzer put out this tweet, and I just think it's worth reading. Of course, he works for the Sixers, does a lot of podcasts and reporting and other stuff down there, former member of the 97.5 The Fanatic. And he says, regarding Brett Brown's press conference, a master class in messaging from a master of class himself. Brett Brown's talents as a communicator speak for themselves, but this morning might have been the finest press conference of his tenure. He owns his subject and is easy to see why he rallies people the way he does. Straight to your point.
Yeah.
Great tweet from Ryan Seltzer.
Really well. Absolutely. Well written.
Let's get to the people. Let's start off with Keith in West Oak Lane on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Jason. And what's up, brother?
Hey, my man, Keith.
Hey, listen. Before too many more days go by, and I got to tell you, the fun I had listening to you Friday and into Sunday, but Friday on the show when everybody was calling up and saying, Andrew, play that song. Man, I got to tell you, Ant, it was Hall of Fame stuff.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Hall of Fame stuff, man.
Apparently it charted number five on the Billboard chart because of Anthony.
Hey, listen, it was just a joy all day, guys. It was, Ant. And
thanks,
I just
want
to let you know that before we go too much further past that.
I appreciate that, good brother.
Listen, man. And, you know, I've been listening to you for a long time, bro. I love you, bro. Listen, Brett Brown has become my favorite New Englander.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And that's saying a lot for me.
Yes.
Okay? And I got to tell you something, guys, and I'm not going to stay too much longer. I just want to say something. I have a feeling of optimism. Right now, I feel like Embiid is going to work on his conditioning, his inside moves. I do believe that Ben is going to have no choice but to develop a shot, a short range shot, something. And I do believe Jimmy's coming back. And if you get those three things, we're already better. And I believe, more so importantly also, Elkton Brand is going to fill in the spots for a backup center and a two guard. I just feel it.
I agree.
And I'm just going to rest easy. I'm going to enjoy the Phillies, get ready for the Eagles, and wait for them boys to come back around.
Yep.
Because I just feel like it's going to be all right.
I do, too. It's a great call, Keith, because I feel the sense of ease that you do about the future.
So the progression of this group.
Yeah, I do. I said yesterday, I've been consistent with you, you know that.
Yeah.
That I said, I want this group back. I want to go status quo.
You want to kick the can for an entire season with the group intact, but improved with, obviously, you need a backup point guard that can shoot the three a little bit.
Yeah, you need a backup like combo guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you, depending on what we do with JJ and, you know, somebody next to Ben that could shoot it. And then you need to, it'd be nice to get a backup five for Embiid that can play defense, can be a rim protector.
Yeah, because if you're going to be really diligent in his load management next year, you're going to need a guy that's going to be able to start on occasion and give you, and that's going to be able to give you 28 minutes if Embiid's not playing back to back or whatever it might be.
You're right. And you can probably see it already that they're going to do the back to back thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did it with Kawhi in Toronto, and, you know, Pop's made it cottage industry.
It's a shame, but the regular season means nothing. Other than seeding, and look, that's important because we had home court we're the one. Yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't really mean much.
At the end of the day, it really doesn't. Success or failure comes in the playoffs.
You see this team, it didn't matter where they finished seed-wise, Yeah, I do think the home court would help, but other than that, I mean, you win.
Yeah. Nick in Collegeville joins us on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nicky?
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Hey, Nick.
Listen, I need Keith to call back next week, because then next week I'll be in the mood to hear all that. That was great. You know, Keith made me feel good. And his overall outlook for the next 12 months are perfect. I mean, we need him. You need people like him, like at the helm, you know, not making, you know, knee-jerk reactions. But and let me try to analyze your brain for a second, because you said you're feeling just as bad today or maybe even worse today than yesterday. Is it possible because, you know, you guys were on the air yesterday and you heard Joel speak and a couple other players speak, Jimmy Buckets, and then you got off the air and you were probably doing something around the house or with the kids and you heard your kids speak, Ben. And did Ben come across a lot like number five saying, we showed our youth today? Like, And I've been ripping him for too long, and I know he's a kid, and I know that the most important thing is what Ben said to Brett and Elton in closed doors. But when I'm sitting on this side of the radio, I mean, I hear Joel go, I got to do better, and I'll stop better in the regular season.
I think that's his personality. Like, Nicky, I think one of the things that we look at Simmons, he's got a different personality than we do. If you... You know, I talked to a lot of people down there and, you know, kind of plugged in, and they love him. Like, they love him. I think it's one of those deals that he's a prideful kind of dude, and I think he's kind of seems aloof. I mean, the Australian thing's real. Like, that Australian stoicism, that's all real. I think that's kind of what you're sensing, Nick.
He came across like he was in denial about improving his game because he didn't cite.
Yeah, we'll play it for people.
Yeah, we'll get to it because that's the way it comes across. But make no mistake, he knows what the problem is.
Yeah, communicated. We'll play it for people in case you missed it.
610-632-0975. That's number. Big long segment coming up. Your chance to chime in. 610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and it's graduation time. And I'm here to tell you about Window Nation, because it's not just graduation for schools. It's time for you to graduate your home up to new energy efficient windows from Window Nation. And as a graduation gift, all window styles are 50% off. You choose bays, bows, double hung, wood, vinyl, any size, any color, all custom made and all 50% off. Window Nation's massive buying power. It's a diploma in deals, and they'll make they'll pass on the savings right to you. And it gets even better. How about this? Make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 months. And if you call Window Nation this week, you can take 50% off every window, plus get free blinds with the purchase of a house of windows. New windows, they save energy, improve the look and value of your home. And now 50% off with no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 months, plus the free blinds. Call Window Nation today. They'll give you a free in-home estimate. And they can come out the next day, and they'll provide you a quote that's valid for a full year. School year's about to end, and so is the deal. So hurry up. Make the call, 866-90-NATION today, or visit them online at windownation.com. Again, 866-90-NATION, or online at windownation.com, and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. And the topic is Brett Brown. And what are your thoughts? Brett coming back? Let's hear from our jury members and what they think.
The judge took the case.
Judge Harris.
Yeah, he took the case. He took it away from the jury.
He did. Took the case. So, you know, all told, you know, we're going to talk about his news conference and we'll talk about the job he did. But again, I think it's the right move. I said it yesterday. I think it's the right move. I want this whole group back.
Mm-hmm.
I saw improvement. I can give you, in fact, maybe I should do this, the 10 things that I saw Brett do, even from a strategic element, that were good.
Okay, I like that. We ran a poll yesterday during the show. It was interesting because the question was that Andrew put up on our midday show page. Are you bringing Brett Brown back next season? 74% of the people said yes, over 3,000 votes, a lot of votes. So 74% of people were in favor of bringing Brett back because of what you just alluded to in the 10 things that you'll come up with, the fact that he was able to adjust in these playoffs, didn't get him past the second round, but still, they showed progression, and he showed progression.
I thought so. And here's the thing. Look, if you disagree, that's fine. I mean, I think this is a debatable subject.
Mm-hmm.
In my big picture, I think it's true. I think it's premature to say he can't win with this group, or he can't take this group over the top.
Yeah.
Now, like if you know, again, and he alluded to it during his news conference, but if next year he, you know, there is a stumble, well, then that's your obvious. It's 3 years. That's your obvious point of change, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
that's your first card to play.
Think, you know, I think you have to hold them to finals, like, you know, whatever, conference finals, you know what I'm saying. They got to, it's got to be optically pleasing.
Yeah, a contender to win the championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're going in as.
Yeah.
So, but ultimately, I think stability is best overall for this group.
Well, here's the one thing that the people that were not in favor of Brett Brown may cite, that they need a new voice. That Brett's been here for 6 years. It's been the same voice. Now, obviously, a lot of these players weren't here.
Well, that's why I disagree with that.
Yeah, but the thing is you have a guy like Joe, and people, and we've cited it as well. He needs to get down on the block. He needs to take his fitness and his nutrition, all that, more seriously.
Listen, all true.
Yeah,
all true.
Ben needs a guy that's got to be willing to shoot. He's got to develop a shot and be willing
all
to shoot.
True.
Can
true.
Brett Brown get through to these guys?
Well, I say let's see.
Yeah,
like that's why.
I'm fine with him coming back.
You know, I think it's a debatable topic. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I understand those people that would prefer a change. I really do. I get it. Like, I understand, you know, some execution down the stretch. If you want to blame the coach, I get it.
To me, one reason why I'm in favor of it, because he didn't lose the team. They responded when he adjusted or when he stepped on the gas.
That's a very salient point.
Yep.
By you. I'm going to tell you, it is a difficult endeavor to coach in the NBA. And I know we hear these calls all the time. You gotta crack the whip. You gotta beat it. You know, Vince Lombardi don't live here no more. All right. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You don't get these guys in order, in line, through fear tactics, through yelling and all that. It doesn't work. All you do is lose them further. You got to go a different tact. And I think his tact has shown that they've been a cohesive group.
Well, the thing is this. They're all guaranteed contracts in the NBA. And you can't just bench a guy like you can in maybe football or in hockey or not put a guy in the lineup in baseball. It's different because you need your star players to win. When those guys make such an impact on every game,
you can't do it like that. Let's be real here. The GMs don't have power. No, the only people who have power are the players and the agents. And you just got to hope you get a group of players that are willing to buy in. That's it. That's the bottom line. Like, yeah. He asked me, what's he responsible for? He's responsible for ultimately performance, but it's a difficult deal to get guys on board. I think he actually has them on board as much as you're ever going to get anybody on board.
Yeah. It's interesting. We had a caller earlier mention, you know, Ben developing shot, Embiid, his fitness getting better, and signing Jimmy. One thing he didn't mention was Tobias. We got to get into that at some point, too.
It's funny. I take it as a gimme that he's coming back.
Do you? Okay.
I mean, I'm taking it as if Elton Brand makes these moves. I got to believe that Elton Brand makes these moves knowing that he's going to re-sign these guys.
Well, he gave up 2 first-round picks.
So,
and he gave up a pretty good package.
You know, so I think...
You do that for a rental.
Yeah. I think he's come back. Again, that's my nature. I mean, I don't know, who knows what these guys feel or think or whatever, but it looks like they can get all 4 of them back.
Let's go to Kevin in Center City on the Fanatic. What's up, Kev?
What's going on, folks? I'm on a totally different page. Everything Brett Brennan said to me is meaningless. It's just empty words. I'm about that action, like Marshawn Lynch said. Unless the team comes back with some semblance of a half court offense and doesn't turn the ball over at one of the highest clips of the NBA, none of it matters to me. I mean, I look at Brett Brown honestly, and this is to be frank. I look at Brett Brown as more of a hurdle that these great players have to overcome than an asset at this point. Like, to me, he's like a T.J. McConnell. Like, he's a part of this team. I'll support him. But if he's what we have to rely on to get over the hump, then...
Again, you know, Kev, I think the onus lies on true players, right? For it to really work.
Exactly.
Like, you know, Ben has to improve certain facets of his game to improve the half court, like you said.
Well, what you know is that in the NBA, you can out-talent bad coaching, and that's what I'm hoping on. That's what I'm praying for. I'm hoping Ben takes the next step. I'm hoping Joe takes better who the coach is. Honestly, when it comes to Brett, I have zero faith. I know people
Kev, let me ask you this.
People around people think he's old.
How much does he control the result? I mean, his substitutions obviously are something that we've talked about. Strategic, there's elements there as well. In the way who he has handling the ball or who he's using to guard a guy like Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I think I agree with Anthony, like the rah-rah thing and making people do things, that way of coaching has passed. But if you show players something different than what they're doing can work and make games, and he's just
unbelievable. Yeah, listen, I hear you. I mean, that's valid. It's valid, Kev. About, you know, that Euro pacing style. I get it. I think that he needs to change a little bit of that. I agree with that.
Or at least be malleable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because here's the thing, and you know, when the game becomes a half court game, like when they're running, forget about it. Like, you know, they can run people out of the gym with that talent. During a regular season, but it becomes when it's a, and Brett said it himself, it was a fist fight. When it becomes a fist fight in a half court game, you got to be able to execute in half court. Now, my here's my thing. You took out, I mean, you beat Toronto three games. You mashed them two times. And you lost on this amazing once in a lifetime shot. You know, I thought he showed some things during both series that were really good. Did you see T.J. McConnell?
No.
All right. That was a big time change. Did you see Boban after a certain period? He tried it.
Furkan, put him in. Never saw him again.
You know, so I thought he tried different things. He switched up defensively. He put the ball in Jimmy's hands. Like, he did a lot of things that I really liked strategically that I called for. So I gotta like it.
Yeah, putting Ben on Kawhi seemed obvious, but he didn't do it initially and then changed.
Yeah.
And got result out of it. Charles in State College joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
Hey, Charles.
So I kind of disagreed with the last call. I don't think what he said was empty words at all. I actually think it was the opposite. Brett Brown, what he said at the press conference was extremely genuine, and he's not a guy that goes up there with the script and just kind of, you know, bats around questions and right to the point. He made a great point about culture, which I think is very underrated, and the fact that Brett Brown is building a culture here that people want to play for him. So while people may argue, oh, he's been here 6 years, they need a new voice, Brett Brown is a respected voice, so I think they need him here for that. And I think here's the thing. To come down to the bottom line, Brett Brown this season has like three different rosters. I mean, you had Markel Fultz in the beginning of the year, Dario Covington. Before I make any official opinion about him finalizing like an opinion, I want to see what he can do with this exact team for an entire season, and also get help for Embiid when he's out, because I mean, he made incredible adjustments in the playoffs, but you can only do so much at some point. Going to come down to the players you have as well, and I think he needs a little more personnel, but I think he's capable of making adjustments and winning them a finals there in Philly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, you want to see, you know, what he does now coming back with the same group, add a little bit to the bench and let's go. And, you know, look, you know, there's no sense to be in a rush to be rushed to judgment. I don't think Brett will handicap you from winning a championship. If those players come back, right, and Ben's developed the shot or whatever, he's willing, and you're going to tell me that Brett is going to derail that? I don't think so.
No, not at all. I don't agree with what he said in the last player, that he's a hurdle. I don't think he's a hurdle at all. I think Brett Brown said everything right. I mean, he even gave a timetable for Ben Simmons. Like, I love that he said, you know, if we're still talking about this when he's 26, there's an issue. So he realizes that
Ben
has to adjust.
No doubt
it's
about
not
it.
Like, he's blind to everything. It's not like he's sitting there saying, oh, he doesn't need to do this. Or
nah, these guys, Charles, these guys know. They know.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. Ben knows.
I mean, I just don't think you can convince me that if Joel Embiid comes back in shape and Ben elevates his game, that all of a sudden Brett's going to be the difference between them not winning.
Yeah, they got to overcome Brett Brown. I don't think he's a guy that's going to put himself
I don't sense that. Now again, you know, again, I don't know. Is he not? You know, I covered Pat Riley and Phil Jackson. There's a different kind of guy. You know, those guys, it was a different league.
Yeah, different era.
You know.
They impacted a game more than guys do now, that's for sure.
They were also, you know, they're so weird. If I could elaborate and I know we're going back 15 years, but I remember Riley's Heat. And he had, there were veteran guys, Alonzo Mourning, you know, like that whole group that he had, he when Pat was down there, like those guys did it, they did it almost like a partnership. Like the players were on board almost strategic. Like he wanted strategic input from his players. They seemed more mature. And maybe because they were, and maybe because this group is young.
So he's saying to the players, what are you seeing out there? Let's
I don't want to make it that
that in depth.
Well, I don't want to make it that simple.
Okay.
You know, But yeah, it seemed like a partnership. Like I remember even with Phil Jackson, with Jordan, they talked about the game. Like Mike talked about the game. He talked about, hey, it's Scotty. Like it was like they talked about always, you know, what it take, like, what do we need to do to get better? How do we get open shots? Like, I remember those guys constantly talking about the game. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this
does that happen now.
I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah. Like, is James Harden, Chris Paul doing that in Houston?
I don't know. I mean, I was close to that team, that Bulls team. Yeah. So I was around it all the time, but I want to see Ben talking about the game. Like, I want to see him, like, he worships LeBron. It's really on him to make this a key summer. He's got to make it a key summer. He worships LeBron and wants to be like LeBron. And I saw him in a huddle of early in game 7, and he was demonstrative. And I think that's great. But he's got to make sure that he does those other things. Like, he's got to live the game.
Yeah.
It's about winning now.
Let me ask you, Brett was asked about it, and obviously Ben was asked about it yesterday. And we're going to give you Ben from yesterday coming up at 12:20, if you missed it yesterday, about his brother being his shot doctor, if you will.
Listen, whatever.
Can a brother push a guy?
Yeah, I think sometimes your brother can push the guy more than a regular coach.
Okay. Yeah. It's weird because the brother may feel like, well, I can't be fired.
Yeah, but the brother is a coach. Like, he's a legitimate coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's not some.
It's not
Fredo.
Right. He's a coach. So I don't really have a problem with his brother. Brother's a coach, so, you know, let him work.
All right, now, we need to see some results from brother, though.
I agree.
Brother Simmons.
I agree. Now, again, he needs to work with, like Elton said, he'll work with some of their staff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the brother can say things to him that maybe somebody else who's a stranger, who might be a really good shooting coach, can't really say.
Yeah. Well, Sister Simmons has been active on Twitter the past couple of days as well, combating people.
Really? I haven't seen.
She damned the North, the Canadians.
Really?
Yeah. She said, you people don't even know what real bacon is. She's always battling people on Twitter, Ben's sister.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's a tough girl. Dan in Pottstown's on the Fanatic. What's up, Danny?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Yo, Dan.
So, I wanted to talk about, I mean, I'm ready to go to war right now after hearing that press conference.
You want the season to start now, don't you, Danny?
Yeah, and I just, I think, like, you know, one of the defining moments of the playoffs and kind of puts to bed the idea that they need a new voice is we go up there in game 5 and we get smacked by 30, and then we come home game 6. With the season on the line, and the place was going nuts. The players were ready to go. That, to me, did not look like a team of guys that need a new voice or need a new, you know, a new general, you know, to lead the troops. I don't see it. And I thought his press conference was awesome today simply because without arrogance, he kind of showed people, like, we are doing a good job. You know, my assistants are getting hired at other NBA franchises. You know, Billy Lang's the new head coach at St. Joe's. You know, Ben's an all-star. We use Ben on the block more this year. You know, so I thought that was the best part, is he didn't get up there and, you know, show malice of like, oh, you guys want me fired? Okay. He simply put it as, if we addressed every report that came out in the last 6 years, I think he said, I've been fired every season. So I love Brett Brown. You know, I was cheering for him in the courtroom every day with your guys' jury and the trial that he was on. And I just, I'm glad he made it, because it would have been, the guy comes from the Spurs. Look at the Spurs, man. They've made the playoffs almost every year I've been alive. The guy can coach. So.
Well, the other thing, and thanks, Dan, the other thing in regards to the Spurs is that they have consistency. There's not a constant upheaval. Firing a coach every couple of years, that's not attractive to potential free agents.
It's the Flyers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all of hockey for the most part, but yeah, you're right. There's always, you want that.
I wish LaViolette was still here.
Yeah, well, like, that sport's different, though. Like, they lose guys, you know?
But I don't even understand that. Someday we're going to have a conversation about that. Because I don't understand how, you know, if hockey players are the toughest group of players in any team sport, then why would the coach lose them?
the coach in hockey is so different than basketball. In basketball, it's like Brett Moore, where it's you're a peacekeeper. You're a guy that tries to motivate by hugs. In hockey, it's not like that.
I know.
They come in, they chew your rear end out.
Yeah, I know. But if you're tough,
in front of your teammates.
But if you're tough, you should handle it.
Yeah, you do for a period of time. Then you're like, you know what, dude? Screw you. You know what I mean? And then there's an upheaval. There's a faction of the locker room that can't stand a guy. And then eventually, it's human nature. You don't want to do what you got to do to save that guy. And that's why he's got to go, because you can't trade a team. It's the one sport that's a bit prehistoric when it comes to coaching still. Where they still grab face masks.
Yeah,
and they bench your ass.
Yeah, but,
you know?
But it's not all that. You know, like, look at the Chief. Chiefs grab you and hug you, bear hug you too.
Yeah, well, he's a guy that, listens to his players. He's in partnership with his players, which is why guys for a period of time are willing to die for him. We go, well, he didn't do very good here. Well, he also didn't have talent when he was here.
Exactly.
You give a coach talent.
It's all about talent.
Yeah, there's every sport you look at, you go, you show me a good coach in the NFL, you show me a good quarterback. Or show me a good quarterback, I'll show you a good coach. Show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach in the NHL. You show in the NBA, if you got a generational player or two, I'll show you a good coach. I mean, look at Houston, though. What's going on down there? They got some great players, but they can't get over the hump.
Well, but that's a different kind of animal, though.
Because the player means so much in the NBA.
Right, that's also, the Golden State Warrior animal.
What's the effect of Kerr on that team? I mean, he's got great players that he rolls onto the floor.
I think he's a really good coach, but again,
Stevie Wonder could coach that team.
Well, I hear you. I still think it's important.
Well, his system is interesting.
To be able to coach it.
610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show. Again, 1220 AM. You missed it yesterday. And I thought it was weird because Ben almost came off like, hey, man, I'm going to work on my game, but didn't come out and say, yeah, I got to work on my shot.
Yeah, well, people want to hear a certain tenor.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
This is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Martinez here to tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm. Now, you know the deal. The Phils, they made a big commitment to a certain outfielder this offseason. By the way, he saved the game last night.
How about that catch?
Oh, he did. Bases loaded, and he makes a diving stab. The Rothenberg Law Firm, they know too how important commitment is, especially when it comes to their clients and being the best law firm in Philadelphia. Alan Rothenberg and his team, they're fully committed to fighting and, of course, winning for their clients. And they've been doing that every single day for over 49 years. The Rothenberg Law Firm's commitment to protecting, fighting, and standing up for the injured people of Philadelphia has helped them build and grow their firm into the trusted household name it is today. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the commitment to winning and call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop fighting until they win for you. Here's the number. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or visit their website, injurylawyer.com. Again, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Woo!
Woo! Out! Right!
Well, it's an interesting day.
You still got a hole in your heart.
I do, dude. I do. I feel a little wounded, quite frankly.
I could tell the minute you walked in, I go, oh, he's not. Not there yet.
No, I'm not.
Philly's win last night didn't fulfill you enough?
No. I watched the game. I always watch Philly's. But
the late one last night.
Yeah, it rained. The first inning, Nola does not look right.
Ooh, the curveball is a little.
Nola still doesn't look right. I mean, he threw 40 pitches in the first inning.
Curveball's up, doesn't have the bite.
That Milwaukee team is a good lineup. That was a good win last night.
Yeah.
They have a good lineup.
Yeah, take game one.
But, No, I keep seeing that shot over and over and over and over again. That was devastating to me. I know you came up with, you said five more devastating
since 2000
losses.
Yeah, I'm not even going back to the 93 Joe Carter.
I got to tell you, I don't say that. I come up with two. I come up with Tampa.
Okay. Rondé Barber.
One bloody nil.
Both on my list. Top five Tuesday list, the most devastating losses since the year 2000. You know, like instant death. And the reason why the Kawhi shot doesn't make my top five is because it was the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but it was the conference semifinals, and it's a game seven, and they're going to go beat the Bucks. I think they could beat the Bucks.
Yeah, but were they going to beat Golden State?
Well, kid, maybe. Who knows?
I know.
No KD. I mean,
but 15% chance?
Whatever. That's not the point. The point is that shot was gut-wrenching. What a way to lose. A lot of high stakes.
All right, let me give you the top five list. One bloody nil, no particular.
Listen, one bloody nil was the first round.
Well, and that was 102 win season, though. They were a team that should have won a World Series that year.
I agree, but it was first round. But they've got
the expectation.
Listen, I have it.
Yeah.
I make no delineation toward finals, semi, whatever it is. I view the hurt. The hurt. Tampa won. One bloody nil, two.
Okay. Well, don't go by hurt, but go by the bigness of the moment.
And Kawhi three.
Okay, well, I one bloody nil. Eagles Bucks in 01, Rondé Barber, Joe Jerevicius. We all can close our eyes.
Two, right?
Yeah, and haunt that one to us. I got the Eagles Cardinals in the 2009 NFC Championship game. McNabb drives down the field, puts them up, 74-yard drive by the Cardinals. They win the game to go to the Super Bowl. Another opportunity. Lost for the Eagles to get to the big game.
I put Carolina over that one.
Do you?
Yep.
Wow, okay. McNabb got hurt in that one, but okay, I see what you're saying. All right.
Oh, my God, they lost to Jake DeLome. They lost
McNabb
to Jake
DeLome. Got hurt in that game.
So what?
He was a mutt.
By the way, he got hurt in the third quarter, late in the third quarter.
Well, one of the reasons
they should have won.
One of the reasons why the Bucks won is so painful is because that was the Super Bowl they should have won going against the Raiders.
Yeah, way back. In 03.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have played New England again. So, you know, whatever. They would have probably lost, but I still think you got to beat. Come on, man. You got to beat Carolina. Freaking Deshaun Foster.
All right, another one here. The Patrick Kane overtime goal, game six on Michael Layton to end the cup run, the improbable cup run.
Yeah, it's a shame. That was a tough one, but.
That's instant death.
Yeah, but I'm.
And that's in the final.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough one, but I still put this shot over it.
You put a second round.
I don't delineate between rounds. I go by hurt, and I was
that Kawhi one hurt you more.
Yes,
than a cup final.
Yeah, I also think the Flyers were a big dog in that series.
Yeah, decent dog. You're right. Goaltending wasn't great on either side, and the other one I have here is the Flyers Devils game seven.
No.
2000
no.
conference final
no.
when Lindros gets taken out by Scott Stevens. They were up 3-1 in that series and ended up losing it, and the Devils went on and won the cup.
No, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, not even close.
And I put my Kawhi buzzer beater as six. Yeah, I take off a lot of points because it's the second round.
Okay, I don't. And it's a very personal list.
Yeah, it's how it affects you.
I expect you to have two Flyer moments on it. My five, I mean, I would have the cup final on it, but it would be
your
five.
Top five. Yeah.
If I want to do it, I would give you Tampa one. I give you one bloody nil two. Not even, it's funny, not even that over the World Series against the Yankees.
In 09.
So I'm giving you, so that's why I don't delineate round.
Mm-hmm.
I give you Kawhi. Now, you could say it's the freshness of the wound. Maybe you're right, but right now I give you Kawhi.
That's what I'm trying to take that part out of it.
I can't.
It just happened a couple of days ago.
I'm sick.
It's hard.
Wounded. Four, Carolina. Five, Blackhawks.
Okay. I
might flop Blackhawks and Carolina. When I think about it, that game six was tough, man. I thought, we win. We go back to seven. Anything happens in a game seven in Chicago. That was a tough loss. You know what? And here's why I'll make that four, and I'll put Carolina five. That was so, so miraculous of a run that they get in.
Shootout
on a Sunday against the Rangers. Ride. Then they, you know, the 303-0. I mean, I thought they were going into, I thought they were blessed.
Yeah. The Capitals got knocked out because of the Canadians and Halak earlier to take out the best team in the league.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Laid out.
It's a shame for Ed, because that was probably his big, that was his shot.
That was the last shot, yeah, you're right.
I got one more to add. I think Kawhi's worse than this one, but the 2010 NLCS, you had 3-2, two out, with two runners on, and Ryan Howard's up to bat, and he goes down looking. And if you win game six, game seven's at home.
Wow. Who's pitching
for, is that the game that Kane pitched?
Well, Wilson was the guy that closed it out.
Yeah. That was tough.
That
Buster
is
Posey.
Fun Andrew Salchunas fact. The one time I actually broke something watching a game. I threw the remote, broke a mirror.
Do you remember Raul in the extra inning game in San Francisco? Dropping that ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. How about this one? I might have a new five. A new number five. Not Carolina. My cousin brings this up.
St. Louis?
No.
Vanessa
this
Williams?
Is so true, too. It's football. It's true.
New Orleans?
Yeah.
Alshon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was on my list, too.
I mean, the Alshon drop?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, they win the game. You know they win the game. He's right. Cousin's right. You win the game.
Yeah. I was putting together
They could go back to back.
I'm putting together a list of top five dagger opponents.
We just had a drop and a shot within a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, the Alshon. Joe Carter on that list. Rondé Barber. For the guys that just put the knife in and ended it for you. Patrick Kane and Kawhi. I only came up with four so far. There's guys that just...
So Carter, Kawhi, Kane.
And Rondé Barber.
Actually, you need to go Carter, Kawhi, Kane. Yeah, Ron. I hate Rondé Barber. God, I hate him.
Yeah, I hate I hate them both. Tiki, too.
That's a great one. Well, Carpenter.
Yeah, Chris Carpenter.
Carpenter, if you want to go with the cuss sounds.
Yeah, it's a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.